Good evening. Good evening. Thank you so much, Karen. Those songs were just such a blessing, and I love it that you pray before you teach and before you lead to look at the scriptures that are going to be taught. And you just, boy, it's really beautiful. Thank you. Well, tonight we're going to go through chapter 3, verses 18 through Colossians 4, 1. And before we do, this, I wonder if sometimes people don't come up when they know, when they don't come when they know what we're talking about today. You know, when the men have their study and they're going to be learning on how to love their wives, the group is smaller, I think, too. But anyway, it's a holy subject, though. It's a holy subject because marriage was ordained in heaven, created by God. And so we're going to start with verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they be discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just, fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Father, we thank you so much that this whole section is about surrender. Surrendering to you, because as we read these scriptures, there's no way that we can move in these things but empowered by your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower us, that you give us the wisdom to walk in the way. Father, as we look into these scriptures, I pray that you would teach us afresh how to surrender to you, the need to surrender to you, and then to walk surrendered in you before each family member, in our family, our private ministry, and in our public ministry, working in the world. So grant us, Lord, your insight. Teach us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we start, I'd like us to go to Titus chapter 2. And I have this Bible that is only a few months old, so it's a little difficult to get to the pages that I need to get to. But Titus chapter 2, verse 5, actually, verse 3, it starts. It says, older women, which I am now. Older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. And why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now I look around and we have a few younger women that are raising their young children. But many of you are my age or a little younger. And we are called to disciple younger women. We're called to pour into them so that the word of God would not be blasphemed. And this is the outline of the issues, the things that is upon the Lord's heart that Paul brought up, that we would be older women, that we would be reverent in behavior. And that's where chapter 3 of Colossians takes us, in being reverent in behavior, reverence to God, and also honoring others. So, as we look at first mention of wives, we're going to go to Genesis, and we're going to go to chapter 3. Actually, I'm going to start with creation, chapter 2 of man. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Actually, I'm going to start at it. I'm sorry. It's 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. But then all of a sudden something happens in the garden in chapter 3. Somehow, Eve and Adam, who still had their own free will, even though they were living in a perfect place with a perfect God, they were still created with a will to choose. And somehow, there was a little separation from Adam and Eve because she was not under his protection. He was her protector. He was the one that was to cover her. He was the one to be the house band, if you would. And she left him, I don't know how, emotionally or maybe physically, but she definitely went where she shouldn't have gone, into a place where her heart began to desire and long for this tree, this forbidden tree, something that she was told she should not touch. Should not eat, lest she die. And she went, she had a conversation with the enemy who hated her, and he hates you and he hates me, and he deceived her. But she took it. She had a choice. She could have walked away. She could have said, Adam, come here. I need to talk to you about this, before she made that decision. Many decisions are made when we're tempted, when we're enticed. But yet, it's important, and she should have counseled with her husband. Instead, she ate, and then she enticed him, and he ate willingly. He had a choice, and then you know what happened. God walks in the garden, and they hear the Lord walking in the garden. And I think that's beautiful that God still was in their midst. in marriages, God is in our midst. If we know him, Jesus is still the center of our marriage. But sometimes we drift from that place, and we need to come back to where he is our all in all. So when we go back to Colossians and we look at wives, Paul is encouraging the wives to submit to her own husband because it is fitting to the Lord. In Proverbs 31, the verse says, I believe it's in verse 11, that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he has no lack of gain. He lacks nothing because she's proven her love and devotion and honor for him, that she is trustworthy for him to bear her heart. And many husbands don't bear their hearts to their wives because either they're corrected for just sharing their heart, or they're reproved. Well, that's the same thing, corrected, reproved. Or they're mocked, they're interrupted, or they tell other people. And God is calling us to honor our husbands. To submit means to obey, but deeper than obey, it means to surrender. See, I could obey Pat, but my heart might not want to. My heart might be really rebelling against anything he's telling me to do. So too, in my relationship with Jesus, the Lord gives us beautiful instruction in scriptures, and we have the choice to either surrender to him with a heart that loves him, delights in him, is clinging to him, devoted to him, where he's the priority of every thought, of every action, of every purchase we make, everything we do, everything we watch on TV or read in a book or what we listen to, that he is the priority, and he is the filter where we bring it to him first and he says, nope, there's dirt there. But we bring everything to him, every care. So too with our husbands, to reverence them, to honor them, and to be that wife that he knows that he can trust. It's fitting in the Lord. That means it's proper. It's favorable to God to honor your husband. So I'm not going to go about on verse 19 or 20 because I'm not speaking to a group of men. And this is the ministry for our pastor or another brother in the church. And as far as children, I believe that husbands also need to be in that room as well, hearing it from a man, because they are the head of the family, unless, of course, you're not married or you're not able to be with your husband or you don't have one. But it's important that there's a shared unity of who is the head of the home, and it's to be the man. So I'm going to go right now to verse 22. And we're going to talk about being bondservants. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of your heart, fearing God. Paul says in Romans 1:1 that he's a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bondservant there means a slave, but a slave that came willingly, chose to be a slave. We chose to walk with the Lord. We chose to follow him, and we choose each day whom we will serve. And he is the one we serve. So because of that, we are this doulos. And that's what bondservant means. And we are to be so trustworthy that we receive everything that we do, every instruction that he gives us, that we live by the word of our master, Jesus Christ. That we are ambassadors of the kingdom. That we are a reflection of who he is. Now, for those of us who work, this is also a test. You're still a bond slave to Jesus Christ, right? You're still serving your master. You're still aware that he is king of your life. But sometimes we don't take that heart into the work field. We might become angry at our boss. They might be unfair. They might be disgusting. I mean, I think of bosses in my past, some of them who don't know the Lord, they're very carnal. They don't have any way to walk with God because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And so they're lewd and coarse. And sometimes they could be harsh on purpose, especially when they know you're a Christian. But yet we're called here to obey your masters, subjecting ourselves to their authority. Now, there are times we don't have to if they're telling us to do something sinful. We have the choice to quit. But we are not to be people who are men pleasers or only with eye service, such as your boss comes into the room and you look like you're busy when you were on the phone. Or you start working really hard, you know, when they're present, but when they're gone, you're just waiting for the day to end. That's not working as unto the Lord. That's being slothful and disobedient. I remember when I was a teller in a bank, and there was this one lady, and she didn't like me because I was a Christian. And she knew it because I would always read my Bible on break, and I told her when I first interviewed that I'm a Christian, but she was one of the managers. I just said, I just want to tell you up front, I'm a Christian before you even hire me or interview me, and I love Jesus, and I do talk about the Lord. I do bring my Bible to work, but they hired me anyway. But she didn't like me. And so, anyway, one time she asked me to do some unreasonable things. She was very harsh with me, just picking on every little thing. Put the pennies in here. I want you to count all this stuff. I, you know, not even letting me be a teller, just telling me to do all this, throw the trash away, you know, all this. So that night I went home and I was really upset in my heart at her. And the next morning I was with the Lord and reading in Ephesians, and God just really spoke to me that I need to honor Margie. Her name is Margie. She's now a Christian. And but I need to honor her and respect her and pray for her. So I went to work the next day and I said, can I have a meeting with you for about 5 minutes? She said, sure. And I said, I just want to tell you I'm really sorry that I didn't respect your position. And she says, well, you did what I said. I said it was begrudgingly. I didn't want to do it because I felt you're unfair. But even whatever I think, if you're unfair or not, God has called me to respect you and to respect your position. That just blew her away. And then she was embarrassed for a few days after that. And it was within a couple months that she gave her life to Jesus. She, not through me, but she visited a church, and she gave her life to Jesus, and she came and she told me. So that was such a blessing. So it's important that we honor those that have authority over us. God has placed those people over us. And we may not understand it, but the Lord uses it. We might grumble, but then we forget that God is God. And that he uses all things to work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He doesn't place us in positions to hurt us, but to purge us, to refine us, to purify us, to teach us to love, to teach us to patience. Let his spirit flow through us to others, that we would be a vessel of love to others and share Christ even when we are being abased or reviled. So that's kind of what I wanted to park on, was that we are bondservants. And whatever you do, verse 23, you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. We need to stop having the fear of man. We need to stop pleasing man. Do our jobs. Do it well. 100% well. But when we come under the fear of man, we've lost sight of our reverence for God. And it's important that we have the reverential awe of our precious, precious Savior Jesus and our most holy Heavenly Father always before us. His presence is around us. His presence is in us. And we carry his presence with us, even the darkest places, because we are light. Why? Because he is light. And he's called us to be the lights of the world. Sometimes I wonder, and I may have said this before, and don't throw rocks at me for blasphemy or anything, but sometimes, you know, God is light. And the first thing God created was light. And we are created in his image. And he is light. So we don't know what Adam and Eve look like. We always think they look just like us, you know. But they were in their perfect bodies. And sometimes I think, they're lights. They're radiant. Look at Adam and named all the animals. You know, there's so much ability that God gave man and woman that we haven't even tapped into because we're restrained, kind of, because of this flesh. But when I think of heaven, and then you look in Revelation and light, there's no light. Why? Because he is our light. Are we going to be lights? Is our new body just going to be so radiant because we reflect the light of the world? How we should reflect him now. Reflect him in our daily lives. Walk with him. Talk with him. Have communion with him. Talk to him all day long. He never gets tired of your voice. Ever. So, with that, fellow bond servants and bond slaves, let us go to prayer. And if you find that maybe you've lost sight of your master, just tell him you love him and you're sorry. Right? So let's spend a few minutes and just between you and Jesus. So, Father, we just give you our life again. We surrender to you. All that we are, God, we give you. No holding back. We've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Take our lives and let us be consecrated, Lord, to thee. For those, Lord, who acknowledge that they drifted from you, I thank you that tonight they met with you. And they're meeting with you now. I thank you, Lord, that your word says that we will receive the reward. The reward's been promised. The reward of the inheritance that you've blessed us with in heaven with you. But there's a reward now. And it's you. May we never forget that you are a treasure. You're so precious, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.